Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nishananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Govinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Today is the celebration of Govardhan Puja. Actually, the event lasted some time, so it's not a one-day affair. The whole Leela actually took a week. We celebrated on this day. This is one of the pastimes of Krishna, which involves all of the devotees in Vrindavan. Some of the pastimes will involve only the cowherd boys. So only the cowherd boys get to see Krishna kill some of the demons like Agasura. Mother Yasoda Nanda never see that. They don't see that. So similarly, various pastimes are available for different types of devotees. But the Govardhan pastime is appreciated by all the different devotees of Vrindavan. Everyone simultaneously was able to see Krishna during this pastime. So it wasn't that some people saw and some people didn't. So that's one special feature of this pastime. This pastime also occurred previous to the Rasalila, one year earlier. So it's actually previous to his pastimes of the gopis. At the same time, the love of the gopis was gradually increasing as they grew older, and as Krishna grew older. This is, we could say, a pastime at the end of his Pauganda age, approaching his Kaishora age. Through this pastime, of course, Krishna has many lessons that he teaches through this, some general lessons and also some more personal lessons. When Krishna was growing up, then he used to herd the calves and then the cows. Then, of course, he became very interested in the occupation of his father and what his father was doing. And at one time, then he saw a special arrangement being made by the cowherd man, which is probably done yearly anyway, as a yearly type of worship, a traditional type of ceremony. It was not just done once, but it was something that was done by tradition. The cowherd men began to prepare for this special festival. And Krishna asked, "Oh, what is this? I want to know what you are doing." So then Nanda Maharaj explained this, that they were going to do a sacrifice for Indra. And they would invite Brahmins to do the sacrifice, and they would do some offerings to him. So this was somewhat special. Therefore, Krishna noticed that they were making some very elaborate arrangements for this. And Krishna then began to inquire, "Well, why are you doing this?" And Nanda Maharaj then explained, "Yes, we do this because Indra is the devata in charge of the rain, and traditionally we do the ceremony of worshipping him, and this way we ensure the rain so we get good grass, and that way the cows have plenty to eat, and that way we get lots of milk. So our profession depends upon worship of Indra." Krishna began to give many reasons why they should not do this yajna, this sacrifice. And if we look carefully at the arguments, many are false arguments. the arguments that bad philosophers may give. But he gave all these different arguments why one should not do this particular sacrifice. And very surprisingly, because he spoke very, very intelligently, very, very convincingly, and with very sweet words, very convincing, sweet, gentle words, his father and all the cowherd men accepted. Though it is surprising that generally they shouldn't accept the words of children, and especially because the philosophy that Krishna presented was actually not bona fide philosophy anyway, they should have rejected it. But because Krishna said it in a particular way, they all became very convinced that yes, we should follow what Krishna says, in spite of the fact that it may have been wrong, you know, for some different reasons. So then they all agreed, okay, we will not do this sacrifice. So then Krishna gave his suggestion of what to do instead. So he says, okay, we can't see the devatas anyway, so why don't we just do something very practical, because we do know that we are getting grass for the cows from Govardhan Hill. So why don't we just worship Govardhan Hill instead? Now we cannot use that philosophy in normal life. Otherwise we'd be worshipping our material objects around us all day long instead of worshipping Krishna. We can't see Krishna, so then let's worship the factory, or let's worship the school or whatever. We don't do that. But then this is what Krishna actually suggested. Let us worship Govardhan Hill, because that's where we get the grass from. And we can see that. We can see that's where it's coming from. So this is more realistic. So that was his suggestion. So as I said, philosophically, in one sense, it doesn't make too much sense. But everyone agreed to this proposal of Krishna. So that is worship, simply worship the hill. Govardhan. In this way, then they took all their ingredients for sacrifice, and instead of offering it to Indra, they offered everything to the hill. So this was a little bit simplistic in one sense, we could say, because though they offered it to the hill, Krishna, by his supreme power, he entered into that hill, and then he accepted the offering. So it's explained that not only he accepted the offering, but he could extend himself in that form, and he could accept the offering even from all the neighboring villages. He could extend his arms up and grab all the offerings from all the different villages all around. So in this way, actually, Krishna himself became the hill. He became non-different from the hill, and he accepted the offerings. So we cannot really say that, therefore, that this was somewhat materialistic worship, worshipping a material object like a hill or whatever. Preferable to worship the devatas, which are in the Shastra. But actually, by following the order of Krishna, out of great affection for Krishna, not because it was logical argument, but because of affection for Krishna and attraction for Krishna, and under the control of Krishna's affection, everyone followed his order, and then Krishna himself actually took the offering. So instead of worshipping Indra, then they ultimately worship Krishna. Even though Krishna didn't say that, you're going to worship me instead of Indra. Nevertheless, by diverting the worship to the hill under his instruction, then Krishna became the hill and he took the offering. So in this way, they directly worship Krishna instead of making offering to Indra. So this, of course, illustrates the fact that better than worshipping devatas, one should directly worship the Lord. This is the advice of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that is, worship the Lord directly. They made this offering, Krishna, in the form of the hill, took the offering and accepted it. He was very, very pleased. After this, then Indra became very upset. Because he was expecting the remnants of that sacrifice. The devatas enjoy the sacrifices made by human beings. It's like nectar for them. So when he didn't receive that offering, then he was very upset. Why have they broken the injunctions of the Vedas and stopped doing sacrifice? Because normally, even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says you should do sacrifice. And if we don't do the sacrifices, then our food is sinful, etc. So then, under normal circumstances, that is the rule. And if the sacrifice is stopped, then that is sinful. So Indra became, we could say, rightfully angry in one sense, because sacrifice was stopped. So they were interfering with Dharma. So then he became very angry, and he decided to create misery for the people of Vrindavan. And he began to send all of his clouds to pour rain on Vrindavan. So he has many, many different clouds under his control, because he's in charge of the rain. And of all the different clouds, of course, the most ferocious cloud that pours the most rain is the cloud that pours rain at the end of the universe, when all the universe gets covered with water. So that cloud that he called also to pour rain on Vrindavan. So of course that would one would assume that, you know, that cloud is so powerful that it could, you know, flood Vrindavan. However, when it started raining, then all of the people of Vrindavan, they took shelter of Krishna. They did not know what to do. So Krishna immediately came to the rescue, because he protects his devotees in all circumstances. So then he lifted Govardhan Hill and used that hill as a covering, and all the people were able to go beneath Govardhan Hill, and they did not get wet. Of course, we can say, well, what about floods? Why don't the water come in from the bottom? But it didn't come in. And not only it protected them from above, but even from the sides and the bottom or wherever, no rain could get under that hill or anywhere around it. So there were no floods under the hill or anything. The whole area under there was completely dry. So in this way, by Krishna's extraordinary power, he could prevent the rain from affecting everyone. And he used the hill as the medium of doing that, even though he technically didn't have to use the hill at all, because Krishna, by his own will, can stop the rain or whatever. But through the medium of the hill, he did this. And that way, if Krishna just showed his power and the rain stopped or something, then okay, fine. But the way he showed his power is that he lifted up this huge hill. And that is impossible for any human being to do. So in other words, he advertised himself as the Supreme Lord by doing this. He lifted up the hill and simultaneously prevented any rain from coming in there at all. And that way he defeated Indra. So not only he's powerful, he is more powerful than the devatas, because the devatas are headed by Indra. He is the king. He's the most powerful of all the devatas. But Indra was defeated. Therefore, Krishna must be more powerful. So that was the direct realization. Everyone saw that Krishna is lifting up the hill, and Indra is pouring the rain down, and Indra got defeated. And of course, then we see after that pastime, Indra came and apologized also, after he rained for 7 days, and all the clouds got exhausted. All the rain in the universe could not affect the area under the mountain, under Govardhan Hill, where Krishna was. So this was his extraordinary power. You get to defeat Indra's reign. So he held up the mountain for 7 days and nights, which is very difficult to do under normal circumstances, because he didn't sleep or anything. And he held up with his left hand on his little finger, like this, on his one little finger, holding up the whole mountain. And everybody saw that. All the people in Vrindavan, Yashoda, Nanda, the cowherd men, and the cowherd boys, and the cowherd girls, and Balaram all saw Krishna. Huh? But, in one sense, they were not affected by the power of Krishna. That was not their interest. Even though it's surprising for us to see Krishna with his lift up the hill with his little finger, that was not the surprising thing for the people of Vrindavan. More than that was the fact that continuously, all day and all night for 7 days, everyone got the chance to see Krishna. Normally they do not see Krishna all the time. Mother and father, Yashoda and Nanda, see Krishna in the morning, then he goes out and herds the cows, and he doesn't come back till evening. So many hours of the day, they miss Krishna. And similarly, the gopis, sometimes they're with Krishna, sometimes they don't see Krishna. So that's so for everyone in Vrindavan. And when they're missing Krishna, then they have so much anxiety. When will I see Krishna again? So for 7 days, the desire to see Krishna continuously was fulfilled. And this gave them great bliss. So all day, all night, they could see Krishna. Of course, then we would think about, what about food and what, everything like that. But of course, in Vrindavan, ultimately, they forget about even eating or whatever when it comes to seeing Krishna or serving Krishna. They don't consider themselves at all. They consider only Krishna. So they were all very, very blissful. So all of the different groups of people had a relationship with Krishna. The cowherd boys have a relationship, a friendship, sakhya-rasa, joking with Krishna. And the elders have a relationship of vatsalya-rasa. And the gopis have a relationship with madhurya-rasa. And others have a relationship with dasya-rasa. So all these different people were under the mountain. And all of their particular desires were fulfilled in seeing Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is the source of all rasas. And he emanates all rasas. He is the Akhila Rasam Murti Sindha. Akhila Rasam Mita Murti. He is the very form of all rasas. So that he illustrated here. Just as when he went to Mathura and he entered into the arena of Kamsa when he was going to fight with the wrestlers, then all the different people saw him in different ways. So the women saw him in Kanjuga Rasa, his friends saw him in Sakya Rasa, and the wrestlers saw him with great fear as like a thunderbolt, punishments. So everyone saw him in a particular way, different way, even though it's one person. So that illustrates again that Krishna is, can be simultaneously different rasas for different people at the same time even. So when he was under the hill, of course, then he was the object of all these different rasas, but of course all the positive rasas. When he was in Mathura, then the negative rasas were also there. So Kamsa saw him as death personified. That's Vaya rasa, fear, etc. So the secondary rasas are also represented there. Fear and lamentation and all these different things. So in Vrindavan, the prominence was given more to the primary rasas, the Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, and Dasya rasas. This took predominance over everything else. There were no demons there at all. So then the main rasas were all very positive. So everyone was, for that 7 days, everybody was filled with great bliss. Such was the bliss that even though Krishna displayed extraordinary powers which would announce that he is superior to Indra and all the devatas and therefore the Supreme Lord, even though that idea may have occurred when they saw the powers of Krishna, because of their love for Krishna, that idea became completely forgotten. And if anyone were to ask them, well, Krishna lifted up that hill, he cannot be an ordinary cowherd boy. then they would not accept that. So there's a quote in the Bhaktirasa Sindhu there where Mother Yasoda is talking to another person. He says, No. Krishna doesn't lift the hill at all. Nanda lifted the hill with Balaram. So that is the intensity of her love, that even though she saw it, still, afterwards, no, not like that. Because Krishna is only my son. He can't do all that. And Nanda Maharaj is more powerful, Balaram is more powerful. So they're the main ones that lifted up the hill, and Krishna only helped. So in this way, because of their extreme love for Krishna, they don't see him as Supreme Lord. They see him only as their son. So this, of course, is a test, in one sense, of the power of the love of the people of Vrindavan. Just as when Krishna showed the universal form to Mother Yasoda within his body, then she did not accept that. So that again was a test. And Mother Yasoda passed the test. She was not impressed with that form at all. She dismissed the whole thing. And she accepted Krishna as her son. So similarly, for all the people of Vrindavan, even though they witnessed all of this power of Krishna, still, after it was all over, they still accepted Krishna as cowherd boy only. In spite of the fact that he defeated Indra, in spite of the fact that he lifted up the hill for 7 days, etc. So this is the power of the love of the devotees of Vrindavan. They are completely immersed in love of Krishna. So that is one thing that's illustrated there by that pastime. That the love of the devotees of Vrindavan eclipses the powers of Krishna, even though he displays all those powers. And not only Yasoda and Nanda's love is great, but all the people's love is that great that they don't see Krishna as God, in spite of the fact that he may display his powers there. So that is one of the points of the pastime. The other point, of course, I mentioned was that preferable to worshipping devatas, who are mentioned in the Vedas, is to directly worship the Supreme Lord. And therefore, that is always preferred. And therefore, Krishna told them not to worship the devatas. The other point, of course, is that even though the people of Vrindavan were following scripture, they were willing to give up scripture in favor of following Krishna. So just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharmam Parityajam Amekam Sharanam Vraja, Krishna first says, do karma, do yoga, do jnana, and then later on he says, give it all up. So what are we to do? So we should follow the instruction of Krishna. So he may recommend sacrifice to Indra and the Vedas, and Karma Kanda. If Krishna says, you give it up, then we should give it up. But only those who have faith will do that. Those who don't have faith, they'll say, well, I will give up partly, I'll still do a little bit of karma kanda, whatever. And they'll still do a little. And therefore we'll see some people have Krishna, they also have some devatas on the side and the altar and here and there, they got all sorts of deities everywhere. So they're still attached. So they're not completely surrendered to Krishna's orders. Worship only me. They want to worship everybody. So that was not so for the people of Vrindavan. Krishna says, okay, you give up the worship of Indra. Worship the hill and sit. Oh, immediately fall. So they were completely following Krishna's order, whatever he said. So that is a very high level of devotion. So even though they contradict other scriptures, they were willing to follow the order of Krishna as the highest. That was the attachment they had for the Lord. So that also is illustrated, that one gives up everything in favor of the order of Krishna. That is higher than everything else. And of course, there's many other stories that illustrate that, where that Krishna gives an order and the devotee follows. And even if it breaks other rules of Shastra or whatever, if we follow the order of Krishna, it is successful. So after all of this, then Indra gave up. He was defeated. And then Krishna, the rain stopped, and the people could come out from under the hill, And then Krishna gently put the hill down exactly as it was before in the same place. Very, very perfectly. So after that, then Indra realized his mistake, that he had been defeated by Krishna. So in this way, this illustrates the point that the devatas, again, are only servants of Krishna. And they may have powers, but those powers are given by the Supreme Lord. And they can never become superior to the Lord under any condition. Whatever powers they have are always under the Supreme Lord. He is the source of all their powers. So they cannot hope to surpass his powers at all, since he is the source of their powers. So Indra became repentant after that. Then he began to offer, a few days later, he began to offer prayers to Krishna. He came to Krishna in a solitary place, and he offered his respects and he offered prayers to Krishna. And Krishna accepted those prayers. At that time, Surabhi also came. Surabhi cow came and sprinkled Krishna with milk. At that time, he got the name of Govinda. Indra and named him Govinda at that time. So that became his name. So in this way, Indra showed his submission to Krishna. In the Vedas, of course, Indra is quite prominent. Look in the Vedas, many verses for Indra. And therefore, Indra, in one sense, has a claim for sacrifice. But this story illustrates that finally, Indra is not supreme, and he's only under the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord in the form of Krishna. So Indra and the other devatas will recognize Vishnu, but it is more difficult for them to recognize Krishna. So Vishnu is available on the higher planets. And actually, in our Manvantara period, Vaivasvata Manu, during this period, one of the avatars lasts for the whole period, and that is Vamana avatar. So he's present during this period, and his influence is there to protect the devatas, etc. So therefore, the devatas do know the existence of the Supreme Lord on a constant basis. But to understand Krishna is a little difficult for everybody, even for the devatas. It is more puzzling. Because Krishna does not show powers in the same way as the others show. And he also shows himself very much like a human being. So this is why Brahma becomes confused and Indra becomes confused because of this. He acts so different from the other forms of God. So that is the special nature of Krishna. He is called the human form. Even though Rama is very similar to human also, Krishna acts more human than Rama. So therefore, this is bewildering even for the devatas. So that is illustrated also, that Krishna is such that his powers are bewildering to even devatas. He also, Indra paid his respects, offered his respects, and Krishna accepted all of that. He did not in any way show offense, in spite of the fact that technically Indra had committed aparad. Aparad against the Lord. Even though he's a devotee, he committed aparad against the Lord, so that's a very serious thing. But we see in this case that Krishna did not mind that at all. It was his arrangement, so therefore he accepted the apologies of Indra. And it also shows, of course, the very mild nature of Krishna. That Krishna is very soft, and he is willing to accept the devotees and their apologies, etc. So he accepted the apologies of Indra and forgave him for all of his foolish mistakes, etc. This shows the merciful nature of Krishna. So in that way, everything was settled with Indra. So the other aspect of Govardhan Puja is the cow. So in this pastime, the whole thing is centered around the sacrifice to Indra, and the whole purpose of the sacrifice is the cow. Because the cowherd men were herding cows, then they need water to get the grass. So therefore they do the sacrifice to Indra. So their life was dependent upon the cow. So Govardhan Hill becomes prominent because it is representative of nourishment of the cow. And in fact, the word Govardhan means to, Vardhan means to increase. And go, of course, means cow. That's one meaning of the word. So therefore, it means sir, Govardhan was there to increase the cows because they gave all the grass. It was nourishment for the cows. That's Govardhan. So it is significant and dear to Krishna because it nourishes cows, and Krishna takes care of the cows. So therefore, hill is Govardhan Hill. So Krishna is very closely connected with the cows and cow protection. So therefore, in doing all of this, he does not neglect the cows. So the worship is one thing, but the worship was for ultimately to get the rain, to get the cow, to get the grass so the cows could eat, so they could survive. That's a material sort of motivation. But ultimately, in the spiritual world, the cows are there and they don't really need the grass and the rain anyway in the spiritual world. So all of these elements are there in the spiritual world and they don't really need a sacrifice to get the rain or anything. So we should not think that therefore the cowherd men are attached to their positions of being cowherds and getting the material benefits from the, you know, milk, etc., and the rain. Everything is supplied in the spiritual world. They do not need maintenance for the material bodies at all. Material bodies, they don't have material bodies. So all of this is there as part of pastime only, that they have to do the sacrifice, etc., whatever. Anyway, in the pastimes of Krishna, he takes up the occupation of a cowherd. And he herds the cows along with the other cowherd people. And he is called Govinda and Gopal, and has so many names related to cows. So this form of the Lord is particularly related always to the cows. Which is very interesting, because with the other forms of the Lord, we do not see such close relationship with animals. When you speak of Vishnu, okay, he has Garuda as such, but they're not such a close connection. We don't immediately think of Garuda when we think of Vishnu. But when we think of Krishna, then we think of cows. And his names are all related to the cows, Govinda, Gopal, etc. Very, very closely related to cows. Therefore, the cow is very special for Krishna in his pastimes. And therefore, in the pastime also, the cow gets a special prominence in the puja itself. They offer food to the Govardhan Hill. They also take care of the cows, and with all the cows, they do parikrama around Govardhan Hill, worshipping the cow. And then after the incident, then, along with Indra, Surabhika came appeared and sprinkled Krishna with milk. So in this lila, we have a very prominent position given to the cow as well, and Krishna's respect and attachment for the cows. So this is another aspect of the lila, importance of cows to Krishna. So the, of course, in the material world then, this reflects again in the material world, how we also have to respect the cow in the material world. Spiritual world is one thing, but even in the material world, one should give proper respect to the cows. And we have cow protection for that reason. Very, very important part of agriculture and society. So in this way we have different aspects of Govardhan Lila. Yeah. Oh, the people of Vrindavan
take shelter of Krishna, not because he is God, but this is simply their attachment to a person they love is the reason for taking shelter of them. The other reason, of course, is that Garga Muni told the people of Nanda Maharaj, particularly, and the people of Vrindavan, that Krishna will protect you. Because in previous lifetimes he's worshipped the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And therefore Vishnu will enter him and give you protection. So you go to Krishna, he will protect you in all cases because Vishnu will act for him. So therefore in that sense they go to Krishna for protection. We can also say that if they're going to Krishna for protection, then they're worried about their bodies. And then there's not pure bhakti. Krishna save us. But again, they don't have material bodies at all. But we'll see this in some incidents, like when the forest fire broke out, and all the cowherd boys began screaming and yelling and whatever. Krishna, Krishna. Well, we should not think that they are afraid of getting killed, or their bodies are going to get harmed or whatever, and they're calling Krishna to protect them for that reason. No, they don't have material bodies at all. So therefore their anxiety is only for Krishna and his safety, not for their safety, ultimately. And if they want to protect the cows, why do they want to protect the cows? It's for Krishna. They protect all the cows because they want to serve Krishna with the cows. So actually everything is related satisfying Krishna there, and not for their own self. If they are, it appears they are acting for themselves, and ultimately it's for the service of Krishna only. Well, there are Vishmacharya explains that actually we see pictures of ancient times, maybe in sculpture or whatever, and other forms, and he says that, mentions that there are pictures where Krishna is holding up the hill, and then the cowherd men are holding sticks up also to hold up the hill, because they're thinking that the hill is going to shake and he may drop the hill like that. So that, of course, is that idea that, you know, Krishna is not God, he's only a little child, so we have to help him in all this endeavor. So that's not an unbona fide feeling for the people, because of the way they identify Krishna as only a young boy.
Okay. The same episode is used as an analogy for the suffering what the people have in the material world. Just as the Gopas thought that they were pulling up the hill, and the human beings also think in this material world that they're doing everything. Once Krishna stops giving them the help, they see the pain, and then they revert back to Krishna. This is what somebody has given the explanation like that. Gopas holding up the helping Krishna and holding the hill, and after some time they think that they are holding the hill and not Krishna. The Gopas themselves start thinking that
Well, that's not the all the people of Vrindavan don't have a hankara, so it's not a very good analogy for one who knows the pastimes of Krishna. All these people are completely pure, so they don't have any idea of having powers of their own ultimately. The only reason they do that is because of their affection for Krishna.